If God has you waiting for a particular thing to come to pass, and you decide that you're just going to jump out and do your own thing, then you've missed God's best. God has you there for a reason. God knows exactly why you're where you're at.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will continue his series, In the Desert with the Father. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of the desert of waiting.
In the Word of God. He was going to saturate himself in the Word of God. So, again, I got a method in my madness, so let me just go ahead to this next point real quick. You've got to storm the gates of heaven when you're in the wilderness. You've got to storm the gates of heaven. The psalmist said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. The Lord heard the cry of the psalmist. This implied that he was crying out to the Lord in prayer as he waited. Now, because... And watch this now, watch this. Because the solution to everything, the beginning, is reading your Bible and praying. And I began to say, Lord, it just seems like that's a redundant thing for everything. And I can see how your people would begin to get numb. Because you say, what's the problem for anxiety? Read your Bible, pray. You say, if I'm dealing with depression, what's the problem? What's that solution? Read your Bible. And sometimes we hear that so much and we can get numb to it. And I thought about something. That whatever illness you have, whether it's diabetes, whether it's cancer, whether it's heart disease, whether it's some other issue of the body, infection in the body, there's three things across the board that they tell you to do. Three things. Now, there's other things after that, but there's three fundamental things that they tell you to do if you want to have a chance at getting better. Number one is exercise. Start exercising. Start moving around. That's across the board. Number two is drink water. Right? Drink more water. Now, again, I know this might be complicated advice in some situations, but across the board, you look at the solution for anything, those first two. Then the third one, if you're smoking, stop smoking. I mean, right? I mean, look at anything, if any issue that they're dealing with, and they run down a list of solutions or things that you need to do, those are on everybody's list right there. Now, it might go on and say you need to get treatment and you need to, you know, do this and you need to take this. And so, yeah, all those other things that you need to do specific to that particular sickness, you need to do. But right off the top, those are three things that they tell you to do. So I'm saying that no matter what you're going through, that when God gives you advice, now he might say you need to stop lusting, you need to stop being lazy, you need to stop taking drugs, and here's ways you can keep doing that. And so, you know, there's secondary advice. But the primary advice to every spiritual situation is to make sure that you're in the Word and that you're praying. Sounds so simple, yet it's so profound. And so when you go through this desert, you need to make sure that you're doing those two things. And notice what it says. I tried to put it in a way that would fire us up, because again, this is advice that we give over and over again, and it's very easy for you to get numb to it. And say, oh, here he goes again, you know, talking about you got to read your Bible, talking about you got to pray. I know I got to do that. All right? Well, I'm saying saturate yourself in the Word. When you're in the desert, you know, with the Father, and you're waiting, saturate yourself in the Word. Read the word. Have devotions. Come to church. Bible study. Yo, saturate. Let the word, yo, just run over your spirit. And then storm the gates of heaven. Third thing, when you're in the desert with the Father, when you're in this waiting period, don't try to keep up with the Joneses. Somebody said on Wednesday, we were talking about something, and somebody said, that's keeping up with the Joneses. And there was a gentleman there who last name was Jones. So there's probably somebody here today that their name is Jones. So we just want to say, nothing personal meant, just a figure of speech that's used. The psalmist said, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who what? Prospers. Prospers. While waiting, it is easy to become impatient, especially when we see people who are not waiting on God prospering. And the tendency might be for us to get something that God is not ready for us to have. That if God promises that he's going to take care of my needs and he's going to bless me with a vehicle, we'll just use that example. And I start looking around and I see, you know, all these individuals who's not trusting God, you know, who's doing things their way, and I see them riding, and I'm walking, or, you know, I'm trying to have to hustle rides, then very easy for me to look and say, well, you know what? Maybe I need to go ahead and get and not wait on God and do my own thing, okay? And so then you jump out and you do something that God didn't intend for you to do, and then it goes back to that slide that we have. Now all you have is heartache, all right? I think of that verse in Proverbs where it says, the blessing of the Lord makes rich, and with it he adds no sorrow. And so some people think that they've been blessed because they went out on their own and they've done something, they've manipulated it, and they've gotten it their own way, and they say, oh, look how God blessed me. Right? And then you start having all kinds of problems. You know, breaking down, can't make your payments. What? Was that really God's blessing? Did God really bless you? And so when we're in this posture of waiting, we can't have this idea that we're trying to keep up with the Joneses, because that will ruin the spirit of waiting that God would desire for you to have. And so you got to stop trying to keep up with the Joneses. You know, I was thinking about an illustration that I heard about a grandfather who was walking with his grandson. And the grandson was walking ahead of the grandfather, and he came to this creek. And when he came to the creek, you know, he was afraid because, you know, he didn't know what was in it. And, you know, there was the water. He didn't know how deep it was. And the grandfather kept telling him the whole time, slow down, slow down, wait for me, wait for me. And so the grandson came to the creek and he stopped. And the grandfather lifted the son up, put him on his shoulders, and they walked across the creek to the other side. They got to the other side, and the grandson said, Grandpa, I would have never been able to make it across there without you. I would have never been able to make it across without you. And that's what God is saying. God is saying, you've come to the creek in your life. Wait for me, and I'll pick you up. I'll put you on my shoulders, and I'll walk you across the creek. And when you get to the other side, that you're going to be able to say, I never would have made it except for you.
We would like to take a short break.
Anchored in Jesus Ministries is sponsoring A Trip to See Jesus, a musical stage adventure at Sight and Sound Theater. This will be a one-day trip, July 27th, 2018. The proceeds will benefit Anchored in Jesus Ministries. For more information, go to our website, www.anchoredinjesus.org. Again, anchoredinjesus.org.
Welcome back. We will now return to today's message.
You know, and again, I go back to, you know, this whole building a new sanctuary, that we're waiting, that we're waiting, and we're waiting. I could go over all the blessings that we've had, you know, besides, and we pray for each one of you who have faithfully given to this stewardship campaign, and you have been a blessing as you have given, as we have reached our goal. Now, again, the price has increased, so, you know, we're going to need to raise some more funds, but we have reached our goal. $100,000 from R.K. Mellon. They don't give money for churches to build a sanctuary. They just don't do it. Brother L.C. Greenwood, God rest his soul, that he left to this church. I was sitting in my office one day, and I got a certified letter from a lawyer. Opened it up, and it was a check for $186,000 to the building fund from Brother L.C. Greenwood. This brother has gone home to glory. He's been rejoicing around the throne for 2 or 3 years now. I had a lady email me and said that, you know, L.C. was a special person to me. And she lives in Florida, and she comes back and forth to Pennsylvania. And she said, look, I just would like to meet with you. I just like to talk to you. So we set up a meeting. We met this last week. She talked, and we talked about LC and talked about, you know, how special he was to all of us and how special he was to this church. She slid me an envelope and got in her car and left. I opened up the envelope. There was a check in there for $5,000 for the building fund. So what am I saying? I'm saying that when you're doing the will of God and you wait on the Lord, that he will take care of your situation. He will give you what you need to make it through. And all you got to do is continue to wait. Continue to wait. Saturate yourself in the word. Storm the gates of heaven. Stop trying to keep up with the Joneses. And then we see, while in the Father with the desert, with the Father in the desert of waiting, you have to don't stray off the path of righteousness. Psalm 37 and verse 34. Wait on the Lord. Woo. Wait on the Lord and what? Keep his way. Keep his way. See, Joseph, oh, I can't wait till next week. The death of a vision, when your dream dies in the wilderness of when it dies. Joseph could have very easily strayed off the road. Here was Mrs. Potiphar's wife, and she sure was looking good. And she said, come now, me and you, one-on-one, and nobody's going to know about it. You know, the guards won't know. My husband won't know. See, you a fine young man, and I like what I see. And, you know, you probably, if we do this hookup, you know, I could mention some good things to my husband, and you'll be in an even better position that you are now. And he might hook something up where you got a better position and you hear more often. See? And when she grabbed Joseph, he got in the wind. Right? Whew. He got in the wind and left his coat behind. Right? And ended up in jail. But what is one thing, while he was waiting to see the vision fulfilled, the vision that God gave him years ago, before he was thrown in the pit, and taken off into slavery. What did he do? Wait on the Lord and keep his way. Keep his way. That while you're waiting, it's going to be very tempting for you to do the wrong thing. It's going to be very tempting for you to get off the path of righteousness. But don't stray off the path of righteousness. Do right. Keep doing right. When you know that you know that you know what you're doing is the right thing, keep on keeping on. I like what I heard Zig Ziglar say. He said, you can't do the right thing long enough and it not pay off. You can't do the right thing long enough and it doesn't pay off. Doing right will always pay off in the end. And maybe the end is you seeing the Lord face to face. But it's going to pay off one way or another in the end. Don't jump the gun. When you're in the wilderness of waiting with the Father, don't jump the gun. Psalm 27 and verse 14. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he will strengthen thy heart. I say, upon the Lord. When in the desert of waiting, there might be a tendency to get antsy and jump the gun. It is during those times that you must wait to be of good courage and let the Lord strengthen your heart. You know, sometimes when you look at the Olympics and they have the races, the sprints and the hurdles, and they say, on your mark, get set. Then they'll shoot the gun. All right, but sometimes before they shoot the gun, somebody will do what? They'll start off. Right, then they got to come back. And that's called jumping the gun. That's called leaving before you're supposed to leave. And when God calls you to wait, that you need to not jump the gun and realize that he's given you the strength to be able to stay in that posture of waiting. Don't jump the gun. You know, oftentimes, let me go to my last point, and I'll make this point when I get to my last point. Let me go ahead. Don't allow weariness to cause you to cave in. Psalm 69 and verse 3. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dry. My eyes fail. When? When I'm out here being blessed, when I'm out here doing good things, when I'm out here on the mountaintop? No. While I wait for who? My God. Wow. You mean to tell me that you can be crying and your throat can be dry and all this is taking place while you're waiting on God? Yes. Yes. While waiting on God, there may be a time of wet eyes and dry throat. But there also must be endurance. God may not show up when you want him to show up. Therefore, and we don't want to hear this part right here, painful perseverance may be necessary. May be necessary. So my point that I was going to make earlier was that sometimes God will let us be in a posture of waiting in a certain situation. And we want to get out. Oh, how bad do we want to get out? My throat is dry. My eyes are crying. I just can't take anymore. I've grown weary, and we want to get out. We want to get out. Oh, we want to get out. Let me out. Let me out. And then we get out. And then we out. And we end up back in the same situation that got us in. Sometimes God keeps you there. He has a period of time that he's going to keep you there because he knows how long it's going to take, watch this, for you to learn the lesson. You think that you've learned the lesson. Oh, this is uncomfortable. Oh, I don't like this. Oh, my throat is dry. Oh, my eyes are watering. And we squeam and we turn because why? We want to get out. And God says, no, I'm going to leave you here because you haven't learned the lesson. I want you to stay here long enough so that when you get out, you say to yourself, I don't want to go back there again. Whew. And there's that memory, that thing that's etched in your mind that says, God, I learned the lesson while I was there. Y'all think of a New Testament word that Paul uses in the book of Hebrews. I think it's 10 and verse 36, where he tells them that you have need of patience or endurance. And that word endurance is the Greek word hupomenes. And it's a compound word, huper, which means under, and mones or meno, which means to abide. And the idea is to abide underneath the load. That whatever load, while you're waiting, whatever load is being placed upon you, see, in your own strength, right, you begin to bend and get weaker and weaker, and you can't stand, and then you end up falling and getting out of that waiting mode. But when you let the Lord strengthen you with hupomenes, stuff keeps coming on your back while you're waiting. Things keep happening while you're waiting. But you don't bend and you don't give because you got hupomenes. You got this ability to abide underneath the load. That it's not going to cause you to fall flat on your face. You know, I like the illustration that I share. There was a young lady that she was in love with this guy. His name was James, right? And James had gone away for a little while. And there was a guy that came and started talking to her. He was a good-looking guy. He had a smooth line. And he started getting to her. So she got out her pen, and she got out her paper, and she wrote, and she said, Jimmy Mac. When are you coming back? Jimmy, I can't take this very much longer because he's coming on stronger and stronger. Jimmy, when are you coming? What does she need? She needed some hupomenes, right? She needed the ability, while she was waiting on Jimmy, right? She needed the ability to continue to stand up underneath that load. And that's why, don't allow weariness to cause you to cave in. When God calls you to wait. As I close out this morning, I want to remind us that whenever God wants to grow a squash, it takes about 6 weeks. But when God wants to grow a mighty oak, it takes hundreds of years to grow that mighty oak. In your situation of waiting in the desert, do you want to be a squash or do you want to be a mighty oak?
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Join us next time for the first half of The Desert of Unfulfilled Dreams. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, The Desert of Waiting, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Desert of Waiting. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Desert of Waiting. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.